Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Decom Divas with Jana.
And I have a very special guest. Welcome to the podcast, Brittany.
I'm super excited to be here. I'm honored to be on your podcast. My first ever time on a podcast.
Yeah! I'm glad that this is your first one. I feel very special.
So I'm nervous.
No, you're nervous.
I gotta do great. I gotta do well by the Decom Divas.
Oh my god.
So, how did we meet?
Well, we met doing a little show called Evil Dead the Musical. It feels like just yesterday.
Yeah.
It was October of last year.
Yeah.
And since then, we've kept in touch.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed being your friend and getting to know you more. And I'm super excited to be here. I'm honored to be on your podcast.
So, what is your... How do you feel about Disney Channel? What's your history with it? Tell me everything.
I was thinking about that a lot today.
Yeah.
Because
what does it mean to you?
Well, all the shows and the movies, everything were just really like influential to me, being like a young actress wannabe, theater wannabe kid without having that outlet.
When did you think you wanted to be an actor?
Oh my god. Well, I think at a really young age, I loved attention.
Yeah, so, me too.
That's kind of where it started. And I really loved to sing.
Yeah.
So like I would watch all these shows like, you know, like American Idol and all that. And that's when I kind of started to realize. Watch American Idol.
Wait, who's your favorite winner?
Oh my gosh. It's been so long since I've watched it.
I know.
Well, Kelly Clarkson was so influential to me as a musician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she will forever be my favorite just because, like, after her time on Idol, like, I bought all of her CDs and I loved all of her music. And I sang one of her songs at a talent show.
What's the one with Since You've Been Gone?
That album.
Yeah.
That album. Very important to young
Brittany.
So many feelings about relationships for not even being in a single relationship at that time. I was in middle school.
Yeah.
And I'm like, behind these hazel eyes, like all sad about being dumped. I had never been dumped in my life at all at that point.
But yeah.
Kelly really, she got me through some hard times, I guess.
Wait, what do you think of Because of You?
Oh my God. Do you know how many times I sing that? And, like, when my parents would go, like, do errands or whatever, and, like, I'd be alone in the house, I would always sing. That was, like, my time. I would stand on top of the table, and I'd practice all my songs and whatever, and that was definitely a lot of emotion for a middle schooler to be feeling.
It is. That is
a song.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful and deep, and, 14-year-old, 13-year-old Brittany was like, I understand these feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
I haven't revisited that album, but now that we're talking about it, I think I need to go give it a lot of those, even like listening to like all my favorite emo songs and stuff.
Wait, were you an emo kid?
Oh, 100%.
Oh,
100,000 million percent.
Oh my god. Wait, when did that hit you? When did you decide I should be emo?
So
is that how it works?
It was Fall Out Boy. Band.
Okay,
and I remember one of my friends, Daryl Ann Stacy, shout out to you if you're listening. she played a Fall Out Boy song for me. I think it was like Sugar Going Down.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah.
And I was still kind of like I was still like forming my own musical opinion.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first albums where I was like, I gotta go buy this.
Yeah.
And so I got it. And
you
then,
got
like,
the CD?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. With the jewel case.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yes. And to play my Walkman and every one of my CDs skipped. So it was just like...
Wait, are there any songs where you listen to it and you're expecting a skip because you heard it
fucked up
so many
times? And you're just like waiting like, please.
Yeah.
But, listening to these songs about like feeling anxious leaving your city and getting dumped and like getting cheated on. And I'm like, that sucks. Like, I didn't know any of those things.
Yeah.
So yeah, a lot of emotion for a 15-year-old girl. But so Disney shows and Disney Channel movies were very influential to me because a lot of these girls were living these like fantasies where it's like it was all in a pretty package. All the storyline, it wasn't predictable, but it's like you knew she was going to get what she wanted at the
end.
Eventually
she would,
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like she'd go through the trials and tribulations in the 90 minutes that were allotted. And then at the end, she'd win the race or whatever, which happened in...
Spoiler alert, she wins the race.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay.
I didn't.
You know, if you're listening to this episode, you probably could have guessed. She wins the race at the end. But how does she win the race? That's the important
part. That's what we're going to break down.
But so were you a Disney Channel kid? Did you watch Disney Channel?
I'm very glad you asked this question because I took some notes.
She did.
I literally went...
She's very prepared.
I went online and I Googled, like, top like best shows from the 90s and thousands for, yeah. I did Disney and I did Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
To kind of like put the two against each other yeah. and see which titles that stuck out to me.
The big question of this podcast is, were you a Disney kid or were you a Nick kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I honestly didn't know until I started looking and I yeah. realized I'm a Nick kid, I think.
Which is great too. Yes. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I still have a lot of love for Disney yeah. and all of its properties. I don't want that mouse coming after me. So thank yeah. you for everything you give me,
thanks,
Lord Mickey.
Yeah.
But there are just so many more just regular Nick shows that yeah. were just like still stick with me to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Still important.
What were your big shows? What, like, are there, I mean, there's like a lot I'm guessing, but like what made you you? Because for me, TV shows from that era really changed who I was, really shaped my childhood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what about yeah. for you?
Well, so obviously SpongeBob.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of us millennials, yeah. SpongeBob was really the building blocks of yeah. humor for us.
Yeah,
and
for
like
sure.
the fact that it's taken such a resurgence in the meme community really speaks to how important. I sound so yeah. intellectual talking
no,
about SpongeBob.
No, she's very intellectual. Like, she's wearing glasses.
I am, but that's yeah. just because I'm blind. and it makes me look smart.
Yeah.
So SpongeBob, Rugrats, yeah. Hey Arnold
oh,
was a big
fuck
one.
Yeah.
Fairly
yeah.
Odd Parents, The Wild Thornberrys, I think was probably my favorite cartoon because yeah. I was such a little like animal lover.
Wait, were you like an Eliza?
Oh, 100%.
Or were you a Debbie?
No, I was not cool enough to be Debbie.
I wasn't either.
Even.
Yeah,
but like yeah. I was still just like kind of that weird kid, and especially when I was younger, I was a huge nature lover. I was always around animals. Yeah. I wanted to know more about them. I wanted to be a vet. So.
Did you try to talk to them and think, like, my powers are coming in today?
1,000,000,000,000,000% yes. You know, I was always, like, trying yeah. to whisper to my dogs, like, do you understand me yet?
It's
like,
okay. You can talk to
please.
Me.
Please. No one else is around. It's just me and you. Like, be cool.
Yeah.
Tell me if you understand. Yeah, I always dreamed about that. And there's always, like, the concept of having powers was cool to me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Also, I have to have a shout out to Avatar The Last Airbender.
Okay, yeah.
That show is just like one of the first children's shows to like really explore like character growth and mm-hmm. struggles and like hard topics. I mean, they're in the middle of a war.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
It's incredible. And if you haven't watched it, have you watched it?
Everybody in friends will tell me to watch
oh,
it. I've
no.
never seen that. Yeah.
Well, I won't give you
it.
Shit for it, but I, if okay. anything, I will say that I'm envious yeah. because I it's one of my comfort shows. Like, yeah. I can watch it at least once a year.
Oh, cool.
It's
okay.
just a very, very good, very wonderful, amazing plot, amazing story, amazing characters, mm-hmm. and it's just like, it's, I can't wait to show it to my kids.
No.
It's like one of those shows.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Yeah. Hey, Brittany. Where are you from?
I am from Michigan.
Nice.
Very small town. I was born in Florida, but I moved to Michigan when I was like in second grade.
What town? What's your small town called?
Memphis.
Memphis.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
what is the like proximity to like
a major city?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would say it's probably about 45 minutes from Detroit.
Okay.
So like mm-hmm. southeastern, very very small town.
Yeah.
And then I moved here about. Like 6 years ago.
Oh, cool.
So it's,
here meaning San Diego, if you aren't listening and you yes. didn't already know that this is San Diego podcast,
San Diego,
it is.
Yes. Yeah. So I think at this point now, like, some people are like, oh, well, now you've been here like long enough to like be a native. And like, I'm like,
yes,
yeah, but
you
no,
still don't feel that way. Yeah.
I definitely do know. I definitely stand out. You're from Northern California,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Sacramento.
Do you mm-hmm. kind of know, like, you know when you're talking to like a local,
mm-hmm.
like a true born and raised.
So for me, so I moved here for college 2012, so it's been 10 years. But yeah, no, you know when you're talking to someone from Southern California because
yeah.
they say words like chill and like they
yeah, no
like,
worries, bro.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very like they make a huge effort to be very laid back.
Yes.
That's what I noticed and I'm like, why do you care so much about that?
It becomes almost like a reverse toxic behavior.
I
when
agree
it's like,
so much.
Yeah, when it's like no bad vibes to the point where it's like I can't even tell you if I had a bad day.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
like wait a minute, but you're supposed to be my friend. I'm supposed to tell you about bad stuff, and you're supposed to help me make it good, not just like reject me for my bad feelings.
Yeah, no, and I'm from like rural, like California, so like it is still California, but it's not. It's totally different here. California's a gigantic state.
Yeah, I have come to learn that Northern California, because I just kind of thought of it all as California when I first moved here. And it's definitely, there's a huge disconnect.
Yeah. Well, so what are you, you're happier here?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I love being spoiled in California.
It is. It's a nice place. Yeah. So you know this. Everyone knows this. Hillary Duff is my queen. She is such a like monumental part of my life mm-hmm. and like who I am. Is there, did you have any icons or people like Disney stars or elsewise during the early 2000s?
I'm trying to think. Not gonna lie. I had two Lizzie McGuire, or well, Hillary Duff CDs. Mm-hmm. I loved.
Wait, tell me the cover and I'll tell you the name.
It was the one where it's like a light blue background.
Metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm. And then I had the CD after that. I remember getting those CDs for Christmas. Yep. So she was like definitely up there with like somebody that I thought was cool and interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I watched a lot of like the movies and the like the TV shows, mm-hmm. but I think I was more of a like a cartoon character kind of gal. Like,
oh,
like
okay.
I loved mm-hmm. Sailor Moon when I was a kid, and like those were like my really idols. Cool. Like I love watching Kim Possible. Like she was such a badass. Like
she is.
All those kinds. So I don't think it was necessarily like my idols came in real person form all the time. Mm-hmm. I think I just idolized like characters. Bad bitches and like it, whether they were like a drawn character or a real life character didn't really matter to me so much. But yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely did love Hillary Duff. Not as much as you. You don't have to fight about it.
I used to be very possessive about people liking her. Now I feel like there's plenty of Hillary to
share.
There's
plenty of Hillary to go around.
I mean, I just think she's such a nice person.
Yeah.
I know I don't know her in real life, but like. But I feel like she is. But yeah. No, it's. Her and Raven, I think.
Yeah.
Did like the best job at like transitioning from like child to adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, even I'm trying to think of like other Disney like Shia LaBeouf had it rough. Mm-hmm. He kinda went a little crazy. I mean he's back doing like a lot of other movies and stuff now, so.
Yeah. Were you into even Steven Siddle?
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Chrissy Carlos Romano?
Yeah!
She was cool as hell.
Yeah!
And Beans? I don't even know that kid's name, but that kid was hilarious.
I don't know his real name, but
he
like.
He was so funny. He was definitely like a fan favorite in my household.
Yeah.
My dad would watch a lot of these shows with us.
Yeah.
He was very into a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And so it was always like the ones that my dad would laugh at. I was like, oh, that must be top comedy right there. Yeah. If my dad's laughing at it.
Yeah. Cool. Back to it. So, today we're talking about a Disney Channel movie called Motocross, if you can remember it. And that's a movie that came out. Let me give you the official day. Okay, this movie came out on February 16th, the year 2001. What do you think you were doing on that day?
February 16th?
Yeah.
That's almost to the day.
Maybe I'll release this on the 16th just to be fun. Yeah, what do you think you were doing that day?
2001. So I would have been living in, when my family moved to Michigan, we lived in Memphis. Then for 1 year, we moved away from Memphis. And then we came back to Memphis. Mm-hmm. So I had this 1 year where I was like at a completely different school, completely different friends, different house. And then a year later, it was like, I'm back, baby. And I went back to the same school.
Yeah.
So I was in that school district, so I didn't have a ton of friends. Mm-hmm. So I think that year was really important to me to have like, the escapes of movies and television.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't, I was the new kid. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
So those were definitely the times where I would like act things out by myself and a lot of like playing pretend. I would act out all of like my TV shows that I liked.
Oh.
So it'd be like I would pretend that I was in, you know, Even Stevens, but I was a character. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like I would insert myself into these already pre-written.
You're Ren's new friend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was probably just, like, playing pretend by myself a lot in that year. And I definitely saw it.
Yeah.
I do remember watching it.
Yes.
It didn't, like, stick out a ton in my mind.
Okay.
Probably because the whole motocross world.
Yeah, did you have any, have you been on a dirt bike or in a go-kart or, like.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In Michigan, a lot of people have those kinds of things. Like four-wheelers.
Yeah.
Motorcycles. But yeah, that whole world never really appealed to me because it was always kind of like the douchey guys and like.
Yeah, I was going to say any world that was like too many men all at once like never appealed to me either.
No. Like, it was kind of like the guys who bullied me were super into like motocross and like snowboarding and like the girls who were like not like the other girls kind of vibes. Yeah. Were super into that. So it wasn't a world that I was familiar with, but I do remember watching it.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if I liked it or not. I just remember like snippets of it.
Yeah.
But what I do remember is rewatching it now and how completely weird it is to watch a show targeted at children in the early thousands as an adult woman.
Yeah. Like, watching it 20 years later, you're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, did you have that same feeling?
Yeah, I remember very, like, so I have seen this movie. I remember it, like, fondly. And, like, I actually am pretty impressed with this because I have a lower caliber of quality because I have to watch so many of these movies.
Oh, okay, for sure.
So I like them. I think this is, like, a really good decom. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely of that era. But the main takeaway I have is, like, this movie reminds me of a very particular type of sexism that is, like, you can't do this as a woman because it's too dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, the...
That was what was the most frustrating thing throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
Like, even the opening scene where it's, like, heavy metal music and the motorbikes, dirt bikes juxtaposed with, like, the pretty cheerleaders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Homegirl 1 came home and Dad... straight up ignored her.
He's like, I didn't give a shit.
But the biggest insult was Mom didn't say shit. Mom was just like, okay with it.
Okay, the whole, the mom's passiveness towards her husband, who she keeps being like, I was in love with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, why?
I'm like, why though?
He's redeeming about him.
I straight up wrote Dad sucks in my notes about 15 times.
Yeah, he does suck.
And I paused it when it started getting toward the end. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
But it was like, 15 minutes till the end is when he actually started being nice.
But it's too little too late.
Like, exactly! Yeah, that's what I'm saying!
He's... So, okay, this movie, Motocross, is about this girl named Andrea, who has a twin brother named Andrew, and they're very... just a big blonde family. And,
they really are.
So, basically, the main character's brother, Andrew, Andrea, twins, and the brother is a motocross or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's really good at it. His dad is living vicariously 100%. Through him, and he wants him to compete, but he gets injured. And so, now what are they going to do? So... Yeah, Andrea comes up with a great plan that, well, I love riding these bikes, and why don't I just pretend to be her? So she shaves her hair. What did you think? What about her becoming a boy? Did you see that? Well, you've seen this before. Yeah. That was the gist of it.
It was very Mulan, that kind of energy. At that time, also, like, having such a pixie cut was not really popular.
It wasn't. It really
like,
was.
It'd like... make you too, like, alternative, almost.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
At least in, like, the social circles I was a part of, like, our femininity was very much dependent on our appearance. So it's like, if you weren't pretty and good smelling and long hair and, like, nails painted and all that kind of stuff, it's like... That's how you're a girly girl. That's how you're a girl. Like, pink and frilly. So
exactly,
which sucks. And, like, watching that whole thing was just very, like, you know, what we know now, and especially with what, like, the social climate is and, like, what it means to be, like, a man or a woman or masculine or feminine or non-binary or however you choose, like, express yourself is, like, become so much more, like, diverse and colorful and just accepted that to, like, it felt like walking into a time machine watching this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, I forgot how much it sucked back then.
It is kind of like, I don't know if I want to say triggering, but it is kind of like, fuck. Like, that's how things were then.
Yeah.
I just remember a valid excuse for men was like, well, but the girls don't do that.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they literally, one of the, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself again, but one of the guys literally makes a joke about the women being in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And like, he is the villain,
French
guy. To be fair, which, I'm getting real fired up with this French guy.
Yeah, so, okay, they basically, the sister and the brother decide, the girl's gonna pretend to be him and go to these competitions until the brother gets uninjured.
Yes.
She just kind of, like, puts on an accent, a man accent.
See, they put this makeup on her face to make her face, like, kind of, like, make her jawline a little bit sharper, make her cheekbones a little bit more pronounced.
She just looks like she, like... They blew a bunch of sand on
them. Yeah, like a bad spray can. It looked not good.
Yeah, and I guess people could believe that, like, she could... I don't know. But yeah, I guess... So this movie has, like, a lot of, like, I don't know, second wave feminism or something like that, where it's, like, girls can do anything guys can do.
And that was, like, the message, right?
Yeah.
It was all of, like, the older mother figures, like, raising her up, which was still nice.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cute when Mom first stepped in to be, like, her pit person or whatever.
Yeah.
She had a little backwards hat on. She was like...
That was cute.
I can't just keep watching from the sidelines. I was like, go off, Mom. could
she,
do.
So the mom basically hides from her husband the yeah. whole time that, like, her daughter's pretending to be a guy. Okay, so the big thing in this movie is that there's another guy in the competition who's kind of like, yeah, what'd you think of him?
He was, like, the best of the best. He
yeah,
was,
okay, like, so you do,
he
like,
was, like, that, he was cool. That guy. I almost said that bitch, but mm-hmm. I guess he is that bitch.
He is that motocross. Bitch, yeah.
He mm-hmm. is. And he has, like, a conversation with her because mm-hmm. she's feeling, well, her as Andy, like, yeah. her male persona, that she's, like, feeling down in the dump about not being mm-hmm. good. And he's like, you're probably the best in your home court or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, so are all these guys, but you've got great potential, and I'll yeah. help you if you help me get the girl.
So there's this other girl who, like, he... What's his name again?
Homeboy?
Yeah, yeah. His name was Dean. Once said, I'll help you improve if you help me get with this other girl named Farron.
Farron, yeah. Farron.
Yeah, and so, and he's like, she's way out of my league. And then they point to her and she's wearing, okay, did you ever wear those things where it was like a big ass flower on your
yes,
shirt?
Yes, 100,000,000%. Yeah. They usually came with them.
Yeah, you buy this shirt from, like, do they have Mervin's in Michigan?
What is it called?
Mervin's. Mm-mm. It's like Kohl's. Mm. Maybe that was a California thing. It's
we
like,
had Kohl's.
Okay, it's like Kohl's.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, cheapish clothes. Mm, but
fast
like,
fashion.
Yeah, but like on trend.
Oh, okay.
Very like, you yeah, could like, buy capris and a nice, and like platform sandals.
Oh my gosh.
And like a, do you remember Happy Bunny?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like a Happy uh-huh. Bunny shirt. All that mm-hmm. whole outfit and a choker all oh together. Yeah, and like a little purse. and 70 bangles, yeah, and then that's your outfit, yeah.
And you are ready to go to the middle school dance
yes,
and slay
exactly.
the house down.
Yes, yes. So, no, this girl, it's just, so it's this prissy girl that he likes and he wants to, like, get with her, and so he's asking Andy to mm-hmm. help talk to her, and of mm-hmm. course she knows how to talk to her because she's also a girl. Mm-hmm. So this movie is, she's the man.
Yeah, slash Mulan, because there's, yeah. there's mm-hmm. very, like, homosexual undertones.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
And it's strange to me that, like, he's... First of all, and I don't want to, like, speak for men. I am not one. But
yeah,
the fact that he approached this basically stranger that he just met.
Yeah.
And was like, listen, I want to get this girl, and you're gonna help me. It just seemed like a weird thing to confide yeah. in someone you just met.
Yeah.
Especially when I think men in that era weren't really good about talking about their
no,
feelings.
No, no.
So it seemed like kind of... pretty bold and like brave, I guess, for this yeah. guy to kind of like confide in this other guy. Like, I like this girl, and can you help me get her attention?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Andy, mm-hmm. her boy persona starts helping
yeah.
him.
Yeah,
and they have a few scenes where it's like,
it is
boys
so...
don't usually talk to each other or touch yeah. each other like that.
And there's this part where they go to the lake. Yeah.
The first thing he says is, take your shirt off. That was like, ma'am, what?
It was like, you could see the stress on her face. She's like, I can't, I have boobs.
Yeah.
But like, how am I going to play this off?
Yeah.
And be like, I thought she's going to be like, I have this rare skin disorder.
I mean, that's kind of what she said.
Yeah.
He's like, my skin doesn't do well in the light.
Yeah.
What are you, a vampire?
Yeah. Like, but yeah, it's very, like, I was confused by this movie. I'm like, where is this going?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I think, like, in my notes I wrote, this is so gay, I love it.
Yeah. I mean, me too. Yeah.
And then, okay, wait, after that I have another quote, and it was like the next scene.
What?
And homeboy Dean says to Andy, after like she agrees to help him, and he says to what he thinks is a guy,
yeah,
I'm gonna work you till you can't get out of bed.
Ma'am, what? I looked at my boyfriend when I said that, and I'm like, oh,
this is a children's show.
I, you know what? If it took a turn at that point, I'm interested.
Honestly,
to see what
like happened. if the track started up, it's like, I've seen Stranger Things happen.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh my god,
sir! It just seems so strange to me to like. I don't, like, they have that term, like, queer baiting.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it kind of seemed like that to me.
It
was
did,
just really,
totally.
It was just really weird.
And I've
like,
seen other of these DCOMs that do that, but this is, like, one of the strongest
right.
I've ever seen, if not the most.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. And it was, like, I it has to do with, like, the whole premise. Like, oh, it's mm-hmm. she's actually a girl. Like,
mm-hmm.
it just seems weird that, like, all this stuff happens, and then, like, it's never addressed. Like, he never has, like, a moment like, oh, man, did I like a dude? Because he did!
Yeah, he did, yeah. It's... very sexually confusing movie, for sure.
Yeah.
And so, eventually, her dad finds out that she's been pretending to be the
like brothers, so he brings in this foreign guy because her family, I think I forgot to say this, owns like a
like a
company that sponsors. That makes
bikes or something, mm-hmm. and the prize is to like get money from a sponsor, yeah. basically to help grow their business.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think that's it. Yeah,
so mm-hmm. it's like it doesn't have to be a certain person riding; it's just mm-hmm. like the person is representing the company.
And so they recruit this French asshole
essentially out of nowhere.
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. he shows up empty-handed, and then next thing you know. Frenchie's on the doorstep being really gross and creepy.
He like kisses people's hands, yeah. and like he's
just like in her bed.
He sleeps in her bedroom, and the dad. I mean, the dad is such a dick, but like he's okay with that. And I'm like, there's no way
yeah. that if he's this protective of daddy's little mm-hmm. princess, that mm-hmm. he would let homeboy stranger just get all up in her bed and yeah. be like, well, listen, sweetie, he just needs to adjust. Adjust to what?
Yeah. He says
like. I think you finally found where you can be of use to your yeah, family while yeah. she's in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, no, oh no, he did not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh no. And then she squirted him with the hose.
Yeah.
In the,
yeah.
the kitchen.
I was like, oops. Yeah.
I was like, got him. Got him, girl. Way to go.
Yeah. God. So the French guy, he's mean to everyone in their family except their dad. And then he starts racing. And then what happens? Like, why does he stop racing for them?
She started like getting suspicious of mm-hmm. him, like he was going to throw the game or something. Mm-hmm. And he catches like the two of them, Andy, not in boy clothes, mm-hmm. and Frenchie having yeah. an argument. And mm-hmm. he straight up pushes her.
Yeah.
He puts hands on her.
Yeah.
I think that's when dad finally kind of realizes, oh, maybe this guy is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then fires him.
Yeah. And then he ends up getting sponsored by some other company.
Yeah, the rival company.
And then he takes the girl that, like...
That happened so fast!
Yeah. And so now they have, like, the family itself, they don't have anyone to ride for them except Andy. So they mm-hmm. finally let her ride again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, does she win in the end?
She does.
Okay. So, yeah. She succeeds. And in the end, she does end up with a guy.
Very. Kind of
vaguely.
It's definitely heavily implied. Because he, yeah. Dean comes to, like, he basically shows up to work for... Or, like, be on their team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's like, well, you're going to have to audition. You don't get to just be on the team. Yeah. So she, like, challenges him to, like, the 12 laps.
Yeah.
And it's a very romantic music, slow motion yeah. of yeah. them, like, doing jumps on their dirt bikes. And then it's, like...
Yeah. And then they end with them in the air.
Yeah. And it's, like, roll credits.
Yeah.
So it's very, like, oh, yeah, it's all going to work out. Happy yeah. feelings. Yeah. Everyone wins. Everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Even the jerk, because I guess he's got the shallow girl now.
Yeah, so two shallow people together at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what did you think of the movie overall?
I mean, overall it wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. It's hard to watch movies that are old sometimes, just mm-hmm. because like things were kind of different. And it's mm-hmm. it's like people weren't able to express themselves in certain ways, and so that can yeah. make it kind of hard to ignore in movies.
Yeah,
that, mm-hmm. that was kind of hard to ignore because it was like all those old tropes of just like
yeah.
like you said, like girls aren't as good as boys or whatever. Yeah. But it did. I did appreciate that, like, you know, she got the respect she deserved from her family and yeah. from the racing community, and yeah. it sounds like she probably opens doors for other girls in the future.
Yeah, because at the end, I'm sorry, I missed this. Is basically they find out she's like racing for her brother, mm-hmm. and they're like, "Who are you?" And she's like, "I'm a girl." Mm-hmm. And then they're all offended, and then they classic movie move. They're like, "Well, yeah. nothing in the rules."
Yeah, exactly. Mom literally comes up. I read the rules. I was like, "Damn, Mom, go off."
Yeah, the mom is great, even though she puts up with this asshole. Like,
yeah, I think Mom has a lot of character growth.
Yeah,
because she mm-hmm. starts off like them as a parenting unit. Mm-hmm. They're it's like a really bad example of like how parents should behave. Like they're not yeah. kind of united front. They're not no. communicating.
No.
Mom is letting him like basically run the show.
Yeah.
Like she's never standing up to him.
Yeah.
She was like the one yeah. who was standing there as her coach instead yeah. of dad. So yeah. it's like dad has growth. Mom gets to stand up and like yeah. lift her daughter up and be a part of the community.
Yeah.
She gets to unveil that she was actually a girl
yeah.
and still get to function in the racing yeah, community. Little yeah. brother gets to like, yeah, do his mechanics. Oh, yeah, I feel bad, though.
There's a little brother who does all the mechanics, and he keeps the secrets for everyone. He's great, and he stands up to his own mom and says, like...
He did.
Yeah. He's like, there's no reason she shouldn't do this. I've been learning about, like, women's rights in school.
It was so cute. It was so cute. How ahead of his time.
Yeah.
It was definitely the, like,
brainy little brother trope. I think, yeah, like, in Lizzie McGuire, her little brother was kind of a smart like Matt, guy, too.
Matt, yeah. Yeah, Matt McGuire type. It was the
same,
vibe, yeah,
same thing. And I realized that there were a lot of, like Disney had like, a formula for a lot, yeah, of their movies, yeah, and shows. Yeah,
have, like, a precocious little kid who, yep, knows more than
knows too
should,
much, and,
yeah,
he speaks way overly intelligently. And
yeah, he's, like, 10 years
has more emotional capacity than a kid of that age should,
yeah,
have. And
yeah. But yeah, so in the end, they're all these women who've been around and supporting all these, mm-hmm, men without any pride the, mm-hmm, whole time are like, there's no reason she shouldn't, mm-hmm, do that.
Yes.
And so hopefully she's paving the way for other women.
Yeah, breaking that glass ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. Breaking it and like crashing through it.
Yeah,
like,
with her bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's where the freeze frame is. Yeah. Going through the glass ceiling.
So overall, how many stars would you give it out of 5?
Oh, out of 5.
Yeah.
Man, I don't want to be too harsh.
Be as harsh as you want.
Like 2?
Okay.
Maybe 2.5.
So what would you say your major criticisms of the movie are?
Sexism.
Yeah. Do you think it was the kind of thing where they were trying to pretend like they weren't sexist, but they still were?
Yes.
Okay, I get that.
Yeah, yeah. Unintentionally. Yeah. Because like I said, back then, like, that was more, like, normal for people. Not to excuse the behavior, but, yeah, like, that kind of shit just was able to fly. Like, yeah, that's... And then, like, I don't know... From the point, we didn't touch on this, but from the point where Dean and Farron went to the NSYNC concert.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious because, yeah, they kept on saying 5th row NSYNC tickets.
They really wanted to make a point of it. It's fifth row.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why the 5th row. Yeah. That just made me laugh. They said it like literally 5 times.
Yeah.
But from that moment, the show really like... Everything happened so fast. It felt so rushed at the end. Yeah. It was like all this long drawn out, like her slowly becoming, like cutting her hair and joining the thing. And then, yeah, mom, everything happened so slowly. And then it's like once the concert and then once dad showed up, everything, yeah, just like
boom,
end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I said before, like dad started being nice 15 minutes before the end of the movie.
Which was very, like, okay, yeah, is he really going to have this big of a turnaround right now? Yeah.
And
are we supposed to think he's suddenly a good person?
Right, and we're, yeah, supposed to forgive him for being such a piece of shit?
Yeah, he really was.
In 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, and she wasn't even, like, mad at him.
That's the thing is, he never really gets his, like, just desserts. Like, everyone kind of forgives him.
No.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. And it's like, man, like, there were so many moments where dad was so unlikable as a character.
Yeah.
And also his acting was super stiff.
Yeah.
Like, he...
Yeah.
A lot of the acting was a little questionable.
I thought the little brother was a good actor.
Yeah. For the child actor.
For
like,
child actor,
a lot of those,
yeah,
child actors, when they get to, like, a... What was he? Like, what do you think? Like, 10? 12?
Yeah, 10. Something like that.
They all kind of talk like this.
Yeah,
oh,
you're right.
Oh, sorry, Mom. I don't know. It's like... just, like... I don't know if they all went to the same child,
yeah,
school of acting.
I'm sure, yeah.
But they all had that same inflection. But yeah, just it just seemed like not enough time to forgive dad for being,
yeah,
such a just an asshole the whole,
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, and it really bothered me the way his wife put up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and he didn't even
really
apologize to her.
No, because he didn't think he did anything wrong.
No.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like no accountability for like.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, no, he obviously favors his oldest son over his kids,
oh my God,
so much.
And they're supposed to be twins. So it's,
yeah,
like, what I appreciate is that even, mm, though Andrew was clearly, like, the golden child in the family,
yeah,
that he was still very sweet to his siblings.
He was,
and the,
yeah,
three of them were very sweet to each other.
Yeah, there was no, like, contention. Like, they,
no,
were, they got along very well, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was really cute. Like, I like,
yeah,
the sibling bonds, and
me
this
too
was probably my favorite part. Was,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that brother was so, like, not feeling like his ego was being stepped on or feeling intimidated by his sister coming into his world, and,
yeah,
he was very, like... Well, you're great too, so why don't you do it? Like,
yeah,
it was like,
he's like
it was
you're
nice,
just as good as the guys.
Yeah, it was,
yeah.
I think mm-hmm, her brother's definitely a feminist. Both of her,
yeah,
brothers are. And,
yeah,
like,
without, and I feel like they didn't, like, they weren't, like, trying to a point to prove. Because I hate in movies where a guy, like,
oh,
goes,
yeah,
so out of his way to,
yeah,
prove,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
he believes in it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was,
yeah,
treated as normal.
It seems like pandering and just, like, condescending.
Yeah, I
almost
hate that,
yeah,
yeah.
But for,
mm-hmm,
them, yeah, the two brothers were just like,
yeah,
no, you're great, go do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, it definitely was, like, outdated in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that made it, like, less enjoyable to watch, but I probably liked it more than you. This is the gist I'm
getting. What was your rating? What was your star rating?
4.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was up there with,
I think another one of the favorite ones I've seen. Okay, I don't want to say it's as good as Xenon. Xenon, I would say, is like a 5-star.
Yeah, the first that's an one, iconic the first example.
One. Yeah, yes, yeah, it's yes. a great, great movie.
Agreed.
Very progressive. This one, I think it was enjoyable to watch for me. I thought it was fun. I didn't think it dragged a ton.
Oh, man. I'm over here, like, freaking, like, Rotten Tomatoes no! over here. Like, I'm being so critical.
No, like, I like it, because I think, like, I'm too easy on these movies because I view it with, like, this nostalgia glasses. But
yeah. I like that people can see it from a more modern way because I'm too nice to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, turning the page a little bit. What did you think of the fashion in this movie?
Oh.
What's your opinion on... What's your view on fashion? What's your relationship with fashion?
Oh.
And fashion from that time as well.
Okay.
What did you wear?
Well...
This is a big question.
This is a big question. Yeah. As a young person, like, you know, elementary, middle school, I think I just wanted to be whatever was trendy.
Yeah.
You know? So, like... I don't think I really had any taste of my own because it's just like, you just want to fit in.
Yeah.
And like, my parents, like, we didn't have like a ton of money, so it wasn't like we were shopping a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I remember like having trendy things and like being envious of the girls with like the super cute, like all the matchy matchy fun stuff. Like,
yeah.
But I also remember like I wore a lot of butterfly clips. Yee! I had the little platform sandals.
Yeah.
A lot of the graphic tees.
Yeah.
Once I got older, I started getting... I remember Katy Perry was very influential to me as a high school girl. One of the boys, that album, was... It changed the whole game for me as a high schooler.
Yeah.
And it really, like, helped me find my, like, thing, I guess. Like, I started wearing red lipstick to school and hair flowers and floral prints and, like, kind of embracing my femininity a little bit. So I think that's when I kind of... started liking things for me and not for anybody else. I really liked how Katy Perry did it in, like, an empowering way. Like, kind of, like, just, like, embracing your femininity, but, like, still being, like, a strong, independent, like, woman. Mm-hmm. And, like, that album, I think that... Seeing her at Warped Tour, too. I met her at Warped Tour
you
before.
You went to Warped Tour?
Yeah. I, like, stood in line at her merch tent because it was, like, you know, it was Warped Tour. So it's, like, people are... You're right there with, like, all your favorite... you know, celebrities, whatever.
Yeah.
But I saw her show. She was amazing. And she signed my CD. Oh and my gosh. She was, and I still have it because she wrote like my name to Britney, moi, love Katy Perry. And it's like all completely legible. And she was just so kind to me. She complimented my outfit. She was so cool and pretty and like girly and like, but also like a badass kind of vibe. Yeah. Like when I met her, I don't know. But like that, I think that was the first point where like I started having a relationship with fashion that wasn't dictated by the people around me.
Yeah.
Cause all of that, like when I was going through like the, you know, the '90s and early thousands fashion, it was just like, what are the girls at my school wearing? Because I want to wear that.
Yeah.
So it took me until I was like a senior in high school, basically to really have like a voice, so to speak, of my own with fashion.
Yeah.
And then from there, it kind of became, like, I wore a lot of pinup things.
Yeah.
I think for a long time. I refused to wear pants at all.
Yeah.
Like, I exclusively wore dresses and skirts.
I can relate to that. It's just something about, like, you won't, I don't know, I feel like it's almost tied to feminism. It's like, I'm not even going to try to resemble a man at all because I believe so much in being a woman. Yeah.
Yes, 100%. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do the absolute most. I never left the house without makeup on. Yeah. I always had my hair done. Like,
did you ever go to high school without makeup on? I never did.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Now I'm like... I don't have anywhere to be, like work.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah, so I don't like all the early thousands fashion. I just, I feel like I liked it because it was cool, but like, I don't really know if that's what I actually liked.
So that you don't have like a big emotional connection to fashion during that time because you weren't, that's not a time in your life where you were really connected to it.
Honestly, now I think my fashion, like I was always so envious of your fashion in Evil Dead.
Thank you.
Cause like we would literally show up for rehearsal and I think I would exclusively wear yoga pants to every rehearsal and you would come in with like cute little shoes, and, like a fun jumper and a cute top and your hair all done and like everything was coordinated and fun. And I'm just like, she would walk in and be like a fashion show. And I'm like, damn it. Damn it. I'm here in my freaking Converse and my.
And I also feel like I felt okay. Do you ever like play into the role you have?
Oh yeah. Okay.
I think I was partially doing that.
You
as
were like
well.
A little bit. What do you call it? Method acting, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I do always dress up for like shows, but I also felt like there's a part of me that I'm like, I need to get into character because my role was very like very girly.
Yes.
Very prissy. Yes. Very like.
Yes.
always looked good.
Yes, so yes, yes, like, yes,
okay,
yes,
I need
yes,
to
yes,
play
yes.
into it more, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you were doing that.
A little bit, yeah, yeah. So fashion was, like, big in the 2010s more so for you.
Yeah, I think that's when I started to come into my own. And, like, I graduated high school at that point, and then I was dating a guy who was also in theater, and he was kind of a big deal. And he also really enjoyed, like, dressing up.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Like, he really loved, like, wearing, like, fun, sparkly jackets. And, like, he did not let, like, the gender norms affect his fashion choices, which I thought was really cool. So him and I loved, like, turning out fun looks and, like, going out to clubs and, like, turning heads and
all that
kind of stuff. Yeah. So I started, like, really leaning into, like, the pinup stuff and really making sure I was always, like, dressed up very fancy. And, like, so that's when I really started, like, more meticulously focusing on, like, what I'm gonna wear to what, and, like, coordinating outfits and, like, thrifting a whole lot more and, like, looking for specific pieces and, like, being picky about, like, my hair and makeup and and all that. But I think I just got tired of that.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Because you realize after a long time, I'm doing this for myself and nobody else. Not that that's not a good reason, but then you're like, I don't know. You're like, why am I working this hard? Yeah. And you spend hours and hours and hours and hours.
And it's like stressful. Like I started getting like hate from other women for it.
Yeah. Like, I think people resent you when you spend a lot of time in their appearance and they don't.
Yeah.
And then they think you're trying to show them up and you're like, I'm literally just doing this because it means a lot to me.
Yeah. And it's like, I wish I could go to the grocery store without feeling the need to put a full face of makeup on, but that's just my crazy right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Sorry. It has nothing to do with you. But I mean, as women, we're like raised to work against one another. So it's like, no surprise there. But I think when I moved out here, it was like weird that I would get so like dressed up and do so much, like at least around the girls that I was like, I was working at a different restaurant downtown and a lot of the girls, everyone is much more like laid back with fashion here.
They are. Yeah.
It's like, you can do the most, but you really don't have to, because no one's going to look at you twice. Honestly, I was talking to a friend the other day about this. I feel like I've kind of like lost my like sense of fashion. Because for a while I was on the pinup thing, and then when I lost that, I kind of started doing a little bit of everything. Like, today I want to be a fairy princess, and tomorrow I want to wear a leather jacket and all black, and like, I kind of do whatever I wanted to do. But now I've become so laid back in my fashion sense, and especially quarantine.
Yeah,
that destroyed. Changed everything, I feel like it just turned, like, it made me feel weird to dress up for anything because we didn't have to dress for anything for so long. So I feel like I'm trying now to like do new things and different things, like with my hair and with my makeup and with my outfits, and like, try more things, be a little bit more risky, not like risky in like my clothing level, but in like my taste, and like try to like maybe wear something that I wouldn't normally pick out for myself. Do you think that for you, like, picking out your outfits and stuff and getting ready is like a meditative, like a me time, a process? Like,
I think it comes from, like, in high school, like, I went to a very academically intense high school, and I felt like I couldn't compete with other people in that sense. So the one thing I was good at was dressing cute. And so it was like my outlet, it was my escape. And so for me, it is meditative because it's my me time, and it's my focus on, like, what I kind of feel like. That was like, that's one skill I didn't have to work that hard at. It is, it's just natural to me. Whereas everything else I do have to work for. So it feels like, I don't want to say, like, it's not like a religion or anything like that, but it is something that, like, I feel like centers me back to who I feel like I truly am.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, when I'm, like, getting ready to go somewhere or do something important, like, I really enjoy putting on a podcast or, like, music and sitting in front of my little vanity and just, like, I always allot myself, like, 2 hours to get ready for something. I never use it, but it's just, like, I don't feel rushed. So it's, like, I can just sit and, like, get lost listening, or if I have like Netflix on, like kind of half watch TV and half like paint my face and just like really take my time and just like enjoy the moment of like quiet where it's like no one's asking anything of me, no one's bothering me. I'm just like doing something nice for myself and getting ready before I have to go and get yelled at the bar or whatever.
Exactly. Because it's like, if I'm going to get yelled at least I'm going to look cute.
Yeah.
While people treat me like
I'm going to look pretty while it happens.
At least you can't tell me I look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
I guess I like work really hard to be down to earth because when you dress well, people assume you're snobby. Oh, so I like overcompensate in that way.
Yeah.
To like seem laid back. People assume you're snobby. They assume you're high maintenance. They assume you're difficult. So I try to reverse that by being kind of nice.
You did it very well in Evil Dead. Because your energy was always like, you always remind me of like a little ray of sunshine.
Oh, thank you. Because
you always come in looking so nice and so smiley and friendly and warm and kind and thoughtful. And sometimes rehearsals were tough, but you were like, you couldn't wipe a smile off your face. Aww. It was really sweet.
I was really sweet. Happy to be there.
Oh, I swear. Yeah. But it's like, and like we all were, but then like we would go through these hard times. And like you were the only one who still like would remember that. Oh, you know, and it was nice. It's nice to have that energy around. Oh, yeah, we need people, like more people like you in the theater community. It's great. Yeah.
I try. I mean, there's like no reason to be mean to each other. Like, I think we should all support each other. It's a hard life. It's a hard art. It's very isolating. 100%. So why don't we work together? Yeah. yeah, no, it's, theater's great.
Yeah.
But this movie isn't.
But, oh my God, yeah. This poor movie.
So, closing thoughts, it was fine.
It was a bummer because so much of the movie was based on a sport. So like 90% of the movie was like jerseys. And it's like, they're ugly as hell. Like the color combinations aren't good. They're clunky.
They like had that her name was on her butt.
Okay, with a juicy couture ass looking butt, I was like, is that like regulation for the sport?
I was like guys in that time, like you would never want to direct someone's your ass.
I was so confused when she was walking away and her butt just said Andy. I was like,
it's like Toy Story.
Oh my God. It was so weird. And then like it was mostly funny to like see, to be reminded of all of the clothing that was popular for men. Because I think that was more of the fashion that we got to see. Yeah. Was like the men's fashion.
So many dudes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the like ugly ass like box snap, well, they weren't even a snapback. It was just like the regular cap with no like none of the snapback thing.
Yeah.
And then like the sport dad glasses with the hat backwards and the sport dad glasses on top.
Those are the ugliest glasses of any era were the early 2000s. Yes. They were so angular.
Yes.
And they made you, like, it was the kind where you made you look like you were going to go on a dirt bike. Yeah, like, 100%. It was like, made to make dirt not going. It's just hideous, yeah.
It was so disgusting. Bad. Yeah. And then, like, also the oversized shirts and the too long shorts.
Yeah,
everything. The no like, fear, like, all those, like, typical brands of all the douchebags who picked on me in middle school.
Famous Stars and Straps.
God, yeah. All, it was like, so, like, the only, like, fashion we got to see was, like, Farron.
Yeah,
and she had some fun outfits.
She had a lot of like marabou trimmed like tiny sweaters, like yes. feather. Like,
yes.
And
yes,
like
yes.
I know I liked how she dressed, but like it's unfortunate that she had to be like a snob. Like the one well dressed one was a snob. Yeah,
which kind of like feeds into that trope of like the pretty popular girl being the mean one. Yeah, and it's like they can be nice.
The main character girl did dress kind of. She fine. She wore a lot of baby tees.
That. Yellow top.
Yeah. It was like a seersucker, like, shrunken top, yeah.
And it was like, it didn't look like she had a bra on, but she was supposed to be 15.
Yeah, and you could see her nipples,
And you could see her nipples, and, like, also, they in that shirt, it was like, her boobs looked huge. And I was like, wait a minute, was she wearing, like, a binder this whole time?
Well, okay, as someone who had small boobs, I wore those kind of shirts a lot to make it look like you had stuff. So it does, like, kind of, like, if you have an A, it'll make you look kind of B plus.
I see.
Like, so, but still, it is kind of like, ooh, right there.
It was pretty inappropriate, too, because that was, like, the scene where, like, Frenchie comes on and he's being all creepy.
And he kisses her hand.
Right, and it's like, this is, again, supposed to be a 15-year-old girl. Like,
checked, and she was, like, 19, 18 when this was filmed.
So it's like,
But it's still, like, weird.
When you're portraying someone that young, it's a little bit like,
it's,
maybe we could not have the nipples.
Yeah. Now kids, Gen Zers, really don't give a shit about that. And I just could never do it.
And also, like, going braless, like, from the minute my boobs came in when I was in, like, 8th grade, I have been, like, on the mentality of, like, strap them in, like, strap them down. The thought of walking anywhere with no bra on just seems so uncomfortable for me.
Yeah.
And, like, uncomfortable for other people. I am envious of the girls who have the confidence to do it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I just... Yeah. I think because, like, padded bras were so big.
I think, like, well, because when we were in high school, I wore a push-up bra every day school.
Every single day. Remember the bombshell bra?
Yeah, I have one. Because that's the thing is, like, you really put in your mind that, like, that's what guys like. That was so important to me back then.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, now I'm like, I mean, who am I... It's just weird. That was such a big thing in, like, the early 2010s is, like, push-up bras.
Yeah. And I remember there were a couple of points when, like, when I was still getting used to, because like my boobs came in very quickly,
yeah,
very fast when I was young, and yeah. I was like way too young to really understand what was going on or how I was being seen by the outside world.
Yeah.
Okay, the boys in school would make fun of me for having big boobs, which is so ironic in hindsight. Like,
because they just want
Didn't you guys want those?
Yeah, exactly.
God, I hated being a child. Anyway. So glad I'm not a child anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Adulthood is much nicer. But yeah. Pro nips if you want it. I just don't. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I kind of do.
Free the nipple, sure. But I don't want to free mine.
It seems so fun. But like, when you have larger breasts, they kind of hang down a little bit, and it's like sweaty and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, it's just, I feel a little bit more comfortable, like, out and about, just knowing the girls are secure and ready for battle, ready for anything.
Ready for battle,
if I need to run full sprint, I'll be ready for it.
If I have to outrun a cheetah, I'm not going to be doing that with my boobs flopping around.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts on Disney Channel in general and in this era? And, when did you stop watching it?
I still went and saw all the Disney movies.
Okay, yeah.
But I think once I got into high school,
it just stopped appealing to you?
It stopped being cool to me.
Yeah.
And again,
it actually becomes really uncool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like you toe this line of, like, all of a sudden you hit a certain age and it's like, to be associated with anything that's, like, childish is, like, you want to die. But, yeah, so it's, like, I didn't really watch anything, like, Disney. And especially because, what's the High School Musical?
Yeah.
Never saw it. Never saw it.
Okay, so.
When it was popular.
Robert was on the Phantom of the Megaplex episode, and I asked him, have you ever seen High School Musical? And he said no. So same story with you. Wow.
It's like that. I lost that one in Camp Rock and, like.
Okay.
Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, all of those were lost on.
Okay, which is fine. Idea. I don't think High School Musical I love, but like other than that, I don't think you missed out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I remember making fun of Zac Efron hard. Like, I made fun of that fool. I'm sorry, Zac Efron, you didn't deserve
it. It's okay. Have you seen Bet on It? Like the one where he's on the golf course and then he sees his...
Was that when he was, like, by the pool?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, I have seen that clip, because I saw it, and I was
so
like,
he looks
what?
At his reflection, and he slaps
it. Yes, and I was like, what has Disney become? But I only saw, like, that little part, because, I had a friend who was obsessed with High School Musical, and I was just I started becoming too cool for school, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're probably at the point where it wouldn't be cool to watch it.
No. No, but like I said, I still watched all the, like, animated movies that would come out and, like, that, but I didn't really watch Disney Channel as much. I think I, like, had moved on, like, Cartoon Network
and
Adult Swim, even though I was not an adult, so I should not have
Were
been
Were you allowed to, or would you sneak in?
Sorry, Dad, I definitely would sneak in and watch it all the time. I found out that, like, we had a TV in our basement that had a little VHS recorder, so before I went to bed, I would put a blank tape in and hit record. And it would record all night until the tape was basically full.
Yeah.
And the next day, I would come downstairs and watch it and then do the same thing the next day and, like, tape over it. So I just kept on taping over this tape to watch the shows I wanted to watch before, like, DVR and everything were a thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember doing that, too. Like, and then I accidentally taped over Precious Childhood.
Oh, no. Yeah. Whoopsies. There goes my christening, I guess. Sorry.
It's okay. I remember.
I had to see Robot Chicken. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad.
Oh, my God. I guess we're wrapping up. What, do you have any messages you'd like to send out to the world?
Messages?
Yes.
Well, I think one takeaway from this whole show and experience and everything that we've discussed today is, like, life is too difficult to spend time criticizing one another, especially us women.
Yeah.
And I think we should really take the time to build each other up and to support one another instead of competing with each other.
Yeah.
And also, like, express yourself however you want to. Yeah. And, like, there's room at the table for everybody. If you're man, woman, non-binary, transgender, whatever your identity is, whatever your sexuality is, whatever your religion is, like, I just think, like, let's all just, like, take some time to, like, help one another out and be good to each other and, like, and, like, welcome other people that may not be like you or may not be, have the same beliefs as you, but, like, everyone deserves a seat at the table and, like, a chance to try, like, you know, like, everyone just... Yeah. Be a little bit more loving.
I agree. Yeah, so hard.
Just a little cheese at the end.
Of course. and
Is there any place you want our listeners to follow you?
Oh, you can Snapchat me. You can hit up my mobile. You can come
here's
your
phone number.
Yeah.
Here's her home. You can fax her dad me. Might answer.
Yeah, you can fax me. You can send
she's
me.
She's got a pager. Yeah.
You can send me a telegram.
Yeah.
Carrier pigeon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything.
Pony Express.
Yeah. Yeah. My Instagram handle is BrittanyMCK.
Yeah.
But I don't really post super often. Sometimes I post, like, pictures of my cats.
Ooh, they're very cute.
Thank
you. It's worth the follow for that alone.
I didn't even pay her to say that.
No, they're adorable. They're adorable. So if listeners, if you want to follow this podcast, it's Decom Divas at Instagram, decomdivaspod@gmail.com. If you want to email me and have any requests. For me, individually, it's Diana of the 90s on Instagram and on YouTube. And we have a TikTok now, Decom Divas does.
Wow.
Hopefully we're in a show together again sometime. And in general, support community theater.
Yeah. So go see local shows. If you have a cousin or a grandpa or you see a flyer, there's every town has its own little theater community. If you're feeling like you want to go try out, like this is your sign. Go try out.
Yeah.
I never know until you try. And theater people are really fun and
they are
fun to be around.
I wouldn't be sitting on the couch with this person if it wasn't for motherfucking theater. So thank you.
Exactly.
Yes. Thank you guys for listening and join us next time when we watch a Disney Channel movie. Bye.
Bye.